name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. My dear friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, listen carefully as I read this passage from Romans and see if you can identify with this. St. Paul writes, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil which I will not to do, that I practice." Does that sound familiar to you? It does to me. In today's epistle, this same St. Paul states that he has been crucified with Christ. So what does this mean? The great apostle is referring to the passions of our fallen human nature in both of these passages. Those passions which are a result of our alienation from God. They are its cause and effect. We were in communion with God and we broke that communion. And the effects of that are enslavement to the passions. What are these things? Anger, lust, envy, slothfulness, vainglory, gluttony, covetousness, self-absorption, unbelief, and so on and so on. All of which arise out of pride, and all of which must die within us if we are to live in communion with our Lord Jesus Christ in eternity, both now and in the life to come. But the choice of how we will live out our lives on this earth is clearly ours to make. As we have said many times before, our Lord will never force himself on us. He has given each of us the capacity to choose. We have free will, and that is operational in our working our salvation out in fear and trembling. So when our Lord says, "He who would come after me," he is referring to that same free will. If we truly desire to become his disciple, his friend, if we truly desire to become like him, to be transformed, to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we must count the cost. It costs something. Let's face it. Stand up to it and face it. It costs something. Today's generation wants everything free. This costs. And it will cost you if you're serious about your salvation. It will cost you something. But the price is so insignificant when compared to the glory that will be revealed to you for all eternity. And this cost, furthermore, involves doing away with the things that are killing us and standing between us and God. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and those who take it by force. Anybody that thinks the Christian life is a picnic doesn't have a clue as to what the Christian life is. It is a war. It is a struggle. And if we're not serious about it, we are going to be defeated. This violence in this passage I just read comes in the form of self-denial. When we deny the passions rule over us, we enter into that struggle of overcoming our pride with humility. St. Gregory Palamas writes, "Such is the word of the cross. It was and is, therefore, a great and truly divine mystery, not only in the time of the prophets before it was accomplished, but also now after it has been fulfilled. Why is this so? On the face of it, anyone who lowers and humbles himself in all respects seems to be bringing dishonor on himself. Anyone who flees carnal pleasures appears to be causing himself toil and grief. And anyone who gives away his possessions looks as though he is making himself poor. But by the power of God, this poverty, grief, and dishonor give birth to the inexhaustible riches, inexhaustible riches, inexpressible delight, and eternal glory, both in this world and in the world to come. This is the wisdom and power of God, to be victorious through weakness, exalted through humility, rich through poverty. Wonderful quote from St. Gregory Palamas. As we enter into this struggle with our pride, we fight it, as we've already said, with our humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you. Our Lord said that we must be willing to lose our life in order to save it. We must be willing to lay aside our lives of captivity to the passions and accept our cross from the Lord. He knows what cross you need. It is not ours to choose. He gives us the cross that we need. And in so doing, we join our sufferings to the precious and life-giving cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Abbot Trifon, who will be the speaker at the ladies' retreat at Holy Resurrection this year, in the very near future, writes the following. A person has salvation not only by his good deeds, but also by his patient suffering of various griefs, illnesses, misfortunes, and failures. Jesus Christ gives us the power which is needed for transformation and prepares us to live with a strength under the most difficult conditions, preparing us for the peace that is eternal. Heaven and hell are a condition of relationship with God that is either theosis or perdition. The lake of fire and heaven occur within the same realm, both being not about places, but about relationship. For one who hates God, such a place as in the presence of God will be eternal suffering. The Orthodox Church teaches that heaven and hell are in the same realm, and that hell is not separation from God symbolically or physically. Hell is a place chosen. Well, without suffering, we cannot join ourselves to the cross. And when we do take up our cross in suffering, it is with our co-suffering Savior. Sickness and suffering are not given to us by a wrathful, punitive God because we have sinned, but rather allowed by this loving God who co-suffers with us. What a beautiful statement. What a beautiful statement regarding the cross. All of life is not suffering, but we live in a fallen world, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike, and it's going to fall on you sooner or later. How do we deal with that? We can give in to it and continue to live in captivity to our passions, or we can join those sufferings to the sufferings of our Lord. And in so doing, we will come to know Him intimately, and we will prepare our hearts, our minds, and even our bodies for eternal life. Dearly beloved, let us take up our cross and follow our Lord. Let us not be afraid to deny ourselves, to deny our appetites, to say no to the impulses of sin, to be determined to follow Christ, to become like Him, to turn away from these things that we want not to do. That language is so stilted. And by the grace of God, live the life that He has called us to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.